Welcome back, everyone. Another race week has been and gone. Thankfully for some fans, I'm sure not for Red Bull fans. But if you are watching us on YouTube, thank you for joining. Get involved. Like, comment, subscribe. We particularly love the comments. We like it when you get involved because we can react to them the next week. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, thanks again. But give us 5 stars while you're here because that really does make a difference. It helps the podcast out a huge amount. And I think it's the main reason we're the number one fantasy sports podcast in Russia. So thank you to whoever is getting us to that spot. So we can officially say we are a number one podcast. If you want proof, DM me and I'll send you the screenshot. But yeah, believe it or not, number one fantasy sports in Russia. Who'd have thought it? So yeah, we're going to crack on now because we do actually have F1 stuff to talk about. I'm not going to bang on about my greatest achievement.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. And yeah, Luke, like you said, I don't know how, and it's probably not the country we want to be number one in, but we got a number one somewhere.
The thing is I mean, it's probably like 4 people listening to us. It's just maybe like fantasy sports is such not a big thing in Russia. I don't even know why we're under the fantasy sport section.
No.
First and foremost. But number one in Russia. So it's a huge flex. Yeah. The phone hasn't stopped ringing since that happened.
Put it on a CV, everything.
Yeah.
Right, welcome along. I hope you had a good weekend. It is Monday evening, and like Luke said, it is post-race weekend.
Well, for you, it's Wednesday evening. So
it's Wednesday, actually. It's Monday evening to us, yes.
It's almost the weekend
for you. We're going to get in a minute to talking about the Jeddah Grand Prix. And for fans, if you're a neutral and you like seeing battles between, you know, fighting for P15 or P10, then you're in for a treat this weekend. If you're a type of fan who likes seeing battles at the front of the pack, you know, like P1, P2, P3, you didn't have any of that really this weekend. But we'll delve into that in a minute. Before we get into that, let's talk a bit of news. You like this bit? Lewis Hamilton has... I don't know how to take this. He's parted way with Angela Cullen. They've been together 7 years. She is a physiotherapist, personal assistant, like iconic. When you think Lewis Hamilton... You think Angela Cullen.
You think of her holding his umbrella.
Yeah, or holding Roscoe walking down the stairs or something like that.
It's a strange one. I mean, I'm not sure how how important it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't really see what it changes. It's just like the sort of visual accompaniment of you. If you see Lewis, you see Angela. But I don't see how this really affects his career.
I disagree. I don't think it affects his career. I think it could affect his mentality. This is someone who has been throughout some of his most successful championships and has been, you know, with him day in, day out, the person who he confides in, the person who he understands his frustrations, just gets him. You've taken that out. There's no, yeah, but, you know, that's not there anymore.
But we assume that that's based on the assumption that he's got no one else at Mercedes or in his life.
Yeah, no, but she is a massive factor.
No, yeah, and I'm not discrediting her work whatsoever. I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm not expecting her going all of a sudden like Lewis forgets how to drive. That's my point. Is like, do I think, oh, Lewis is never going to win a world championship now?
After all these years, you've now found out that Bono is useless and it's actually been Angela Cullen.
Yeah, she's been pulling strings at Merck. But that's the thing. It's more of like a mad thing because it's like you just always associate the two of them and there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason as to why she's gone. So there's the curiosity factor as well. I personally don't see it like having a negative effect. And it seems like, I can't work out whether she's like left or he's like, because based on his Instagram post, it was like, oh, you know, she's moving on to the next chapter, which makes it sound like her decision. But then Toto in the press conference sort of made it sound like it was Lewis's decision.
There was also reports that actually they've had a bit of a disagreement. And the weird thing is, it's very strange. Like we touched on last week with Ferrari making changes and everything, if you're going to make changes, you make them in the off season or the summer break. The fact that it's race two and now they've like parted ways just seems a bit strange to me.
It is strange timing, and I think that's where the curiosity thing comes in. That's what I mean by, like, it's much more of like a big, seems like a bigger deal than it is, because people are like, yeah, but why? If it was like, it was so clear, you know, oh, she's going on to do this job, like, it's just a next stage. Yeah. But there's no, like, clarification. Everyone's a bit like, well, why? Why has she gone, like, because she's obviously, she's not the reason the car's failing. Do you know what I mean? Although she may be if she really was pulling the strings. But, yeah, so it's, I think it's more just the curiosity factor.
Yeah. That, you know, don't get me wrong. Like you say, it doesn't make a massive difference to us. But I honestly do think it's going to make a massive difference to Lewis. Having someone by your side for 7 years, you're gonna have that, you know, okay, where do I go now?
Yeah, it would be strange for him, for sure. But I'm sure it's strange for him right now driving a not-so-fast car.
Well, yeah.
Very so true. Maybe, you know, he's just looking at like, well, okay, times are different now. You know, maybe I need to shake up the pack and...
I don't need someone to carry my winning medals because actually I'm not winning anything. So
it may very well be
you're
that.
Made redundant. Yeah.
So he's, I think, you know, he's just looking ahead.
Yeah. No, fair play.
But I haven't actually, I don't know if you've read rumours. I haven't read any rumours on it, like as to, because you said something about a disagreement.
Yeah, I heard there was a bit of a disagreement with some of his comments he made about the team. Angela didn't like it, apparently. You know what he was saying about the team and the fact of in Bahrain that he said to the team he should be doing it this way. They ignored him. Some negative comments towards the team. From what I've read, I don't know, again, these are only reports, she wasn't overly impressed with his comments. And that's where the pair kind of got into a bit of a disagreement. How true that is, I don't know.
But yeah, just, I don't know, because it seems a bit over the top. Like, I mean, it didn't say like a great deal. I mean, if they fell out over that, that would be pretty weak from both parties. Do you know what I mean? To end like a 7-year relationship because, you know, like, I'm fair enough if she didn't feel like happy about the comments. I'm not saying like that, but like for them to completely fall out over it
would seem a bit strange.
Would seem bizarre after the sort of journey they've been on.
Let us know what your thoughts are. Do you think there's a bit more to it, or do you think it's just like a amicable, you know, little breakup there? Let us know. So in other news, we will get on to obviously Jeddah in a second, but Jos Verstappen.
Is this not Jeddah related?
It is Jeddah related. It is Jeddah related, but it's just a bit of news about Jos Verstappen. Did anyone see him post-race? Yeah. So Sergio Perez went past after winning the race. And let's just say Jos Verstappen, could, by looks of it, couldn't even congratulate him. Which, in contrast to, you know, Perez's dad, he loves, like, he's, you know, embracing Max, like, oh, fantastic, all of this stuff. You got Jos Verstappen literally standing there, couldn't even acknowledge Perez. What are your thoughts?
I find that whole thing a bit weird anyway, like, his dad being so involved. He's not exactly a successful race driver, you know, with the greatest respect. I mean, you know, Max surpassed him easily. I know that's probably, you know, what Max has achieved is pretty impressive. But, like, if Max Verstappen didn't exist, no one would remember Jos Verstappen. Yeah. That's my point. So I find him being so involved really bizarre. And I also think, like, surely Max can't even like that. I'm all for having, like, my dad come and watch the race and whatnot, but, like, step back a little bit. Like, I do find that whole thing a little bit strange.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know when you used to play for Seaford Town, did your dad used to come and watch you then?
With his manager.
Oh, yeah, good point. Forget about that. Well, no, when you got older.
But he was...
He wasn't your manager to the end, was he?
Yeah.
Okay, that does make sense.
But that's also a completely different example. You're comparing playing for your local football team to racing in Formula One.
Like, no, I was just curious like to how often you, if your dad came
if I got
to...
signed up by Chelsea, I wouldn't be like, my dad needs to be in charge, otherwise I'm not playing.
Well, evidently, you wanted your dad in charge of Seaford Town when you were there.
No,
see,
I
didn't. Control freak.
No one else wanted to be in charge. That was the problem. But I just think, yeah, come and watch, that's fine. But I feel like there's like such a big involvement there. Like you're seeing with like, I don't like a headset on and stuff. I just feel like, and you know that he'll be there like always in like these meetings. And I just feel like it's a heavy involvement. And you know, maybe Max does like it, maybe. But I just can't see how. And I feel like at this stage of Max's career, like, does he really need his dad lurking about at every race?
Well, you look back at over the years, you obviously had Lewis Hamilton with his dad.
Yeah.
That didn't end too well. They had a bit of like a, not a falling out as such, but you know.
He told his dad to step back, didn't he?
Look at Jenson Button in the past with his dad. He was very heavily involved in his races. He was always there in the garage. He was always around. But I think that relationship was very different. This relationship with Jost, like you say, is heavily involved. It's not just like, oh, I'm just around. He's like, wants to be involved in everything from what we see. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But from what we see, he's always there. He's literally in everything.
Yeah. And Max,
that can't be healthy for
Max. Is not a driver that needs that either, by the way. You know.
Oh, Dad, Max, can you just give me some tips? You know, I know you didn't achieve anything like I've done so far, but can you give me some tips?
And Ivan, I like to think that, and bear in mind, right, with this example, Michael Schumacher would have so much more credibility in the paddock, right?
Mm.
I even like to think that he would have stepped back and just let, like, Mick do his thing. Obviously turn up to races. I'm not saying that. Like, go and support your children.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a weird involvement there. And then I think it's shit like this happen. We're standing there when Perez has won. And he just, like, looks like he's had the worst day of his life.
It was embarrassing, though.
Yeah, he's not...
I actually felt awkward watching it.
He didn't, like, congratulate him and... Yeah, he completely just, like... He was at the front, but completely ignored the celebration.
And, so, you know, I find that disrespectful. And, look, at the end of the day, you don't know what goes on behind the scenes with the likes of Perez and Max. You don't know.
Did it make you think, like, is their relationship actually not that good?
No,
like,
I think there's more, you know... And we'll get on to the race in a minute. But I honestly don't think that whole Perez-Max relationship is good.
Yeah.
I think it's they don't have respect for each other, especially after Brazil last year. I think that's a very... I just think it's a very toxic team. It's a very successful team and they're dominating. But I think that you've got characters in that team only looking out for themselves and not a team. Whether that makes sense or not, I just don't think it's... a team as such. It's very individual based.
And do you find like when Perez wins over the radio and they're like, oh, well done Perez, or like Checo, that's great, it always sounds patronizing.
Yeah, and then you get to Max, great drive Max, you know, brilliant drive. It's like literally you couldn't like,
yeah, I don't know. I do think there is like things we don't see within that team. Not to take any credit away from Red Bull, because I think you know, also no disrespect to the drivers, at this stage we could drive the cars and probably still win. It's so quick, that car is impressive, like beyond belief. So
well, interestingly, Lewis Hamilton has come out and he said that Red Bull car is the fastest car he's ever seen in F1. I don't think I could disagree with him.
Yeah,
I remember a car being this dominant and fast.
2014 Mercedes?
No, I think we've said this numerous times. This Red Bull is a rocket ship. It is ridiculous.
That Mercedes was a second a lap quicker than every car.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is similar.
It's similar, but I don't know. This Red Bull just looks like it's taken a whole new level.
I think it's one of the most dominant cars ever. I would argue that 2014 Mercedes is perhaps on par. You could also look at the Braun in 2019. Initially, that was
no comparison to this Red Bull.
Well, not for the second half of the season, but initially it was like It was so much faster.
Yeah. Let us know. I think that's
absolutely not to take away from this Red Bull. I'm just saying, you know, I think Lewis has had his fair share of quick cars.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think his Mercedes in 2014 is pretty similar in terms of this disparity in speed between the top team and the rest of the teams.
Yeah, okay. Other news, F1 drivers are banned from taking bikes on their pre-race weekend track walks.
Another pointless rule. What's the fucking point?
And Charles Leclerc said, well, I obviously won't be doing that then.
Yeah, like, what is the point?
I wonder if this is after the Lance Stroll bike accident.
Absolutely nothing to do with racing.
What? No, I know it's nothing to do with racing, but I'm wondering if it's from...
Yeah, but like, that's like... If Esteban Ocon got injured in a football match and they're like, right, absolutely no keepy-ups in the paddock. Like, that would be ridiculous if it is anything related to that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't understand the purpose of the rule flat out. You've got just as much chance being injured. You're allowed to jog around there.
Yeah.
What if you trip and, I don't know, pop your kneecap? Or you run
those
and you...
Those common pop kneecaps.
If you fall on your kneecap and, I don't know, dislocate it or something, or you... fracture your ankle. I really don't understand the point in it.
Yeah.
Not allowed to cycle around it, but you can go around it at 250 mile an hour. That's fine. How does that make any sense?
Final news story before we get into Jeddah. Helmut Marko is very, very unimpressed at the moment with the two AlphaTauri drivers. He has actually got a stern warning for Tsunoda and Nyck de Vries to start proving themselves, or they will be out without a seat. I know it's after race two. I think it's a bit harsh on Tsunoda. I think he's done all right.
I was going to say, harsh on Tsunoda.
I think it's very harsh on Tsunoda, because actually I think he's, with what he's got in the last couple of races, he's actually done okay.
We've also got to bear in mind, that car really looks like a piece of shit. So Nyck de Vries, I think, has really disappointed us.
Yeah,
I know. Me personally, I'm disappointed with him, how he's performed.
He did say Luke's disappointed with me. He said that.
You know, that's probably why he said it. But I just think Bahrain was unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
He was a little bit better here. He qualified ahead of Yuki, did he not? He was quicker in practice, which, I mean, to be fair, is irrelevant, because if it comes to qualifying and you qualify ahead of them or you beat them in the race. But I am a bit concerned about his pace, because he is a rookie, but he's not an inexperienced race car driver.
No, I agree with you. Tsunoda was P16, De Vries was 18.
Oh, okay, so
he didn't.
Yeah, and you know, like I say, that AlphaTauri is not a good car. And Yuki Tsunoda almost got points.
Yeah, he had a good fight with that Haas.
Yeah, that Haas is really not a bad car.
No.
It's certainly one of the quickest in a straight line.
Yeah.
And I thought Yuki did well. But yeah, Nyck de Vries offered very little. Where did de Vries finish in the end?
So Tsunoda ended up finishing P11, De Vries ended up finishing P14.
Yeah, well, you know, he still recovered it, to be fair. But my point is I was expecting De Vries to come in and actually really be... Personally, I was expecting him to do better than Tsunoda.
Well, you said in the pre-season preview that you're expecting big things from him.
Yeah.
Especially after what he showed in Imola last year. Monza last year. We were expecting him to come in, and everyone was like, he's this next big hot prospect. And I've always said, at the age of 27, 28, how can you be a hot prospect when you've been around a sport and you're actually just coming into F1 now? My gut feeling is,
I think our gut feeling should have been, if Mercedes were happy to let him go to AlphaTauri,
there's your answer.
We should have read between the lines.
Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see. But Marco, Helmut Marko is currently not impressed. But shall we get into talking about Jeddah? So, practice one. Let's just recap it pretty quick. It'll be very quick, this one. FP1, FP2, FP3, dominated by Max Verstappen.
Guy was quick. He was... The Red Bull was quick. Max was stupidly quick.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. Obviously, going into this, we knew Charles Leclerc had a 10-second penalty because he changed... What did he change? He changed...
Well, it was the... It was that... It's an electronical component, isn't it? That they're only allowed two of in the season.
He's already...
Yeah, so he had to take a penalty. So did he change his ICU? I don't know. Obviously, it was all to do with the engine issue in Bahrain that forced him out. And basically he had to take the penalty, I believe.
Qualifying, so both AlphaTauris go out. Tsunoda was like, he was so close to getting into Q2.
Yeah.
Obviously, he saw both Williams go out as well. Lando Norris was down in 19th, but he clipped the wall, which that kind of ruined his qualifying.
That did ruin his qualifying. Well,
it did ruin his qualifying. which was disappointing, really, because obviously we needed to start seeing McLaren come to this race and perform. Obviously, they did the complete opposite this weekend.
Well, you know, I've actually got some things to say about McLaren, because that car does not look great. I know we'll get onto the race, but really struggled to overtake Sargeant. With DRS, the pace just wasn't there in a straight line. I actually think that, you know, in these first two races, they've had some horrendous luck. Lando had the dodgy car in Bahrain.
55 pit stops.
Piastri had an even dodgier car
where
he had to retire. They come here, Piastri gets a really good start, loses some of his front wing. The debris from his front wing then damages Lando's front wing. And, you know, at that point, it's pretty much race over. But I actually think they put in quite a good drive, the pair of them, under the circumstances.
What?
I thought the drive, that I thought they were... I think that if they don't have terrible luck in the coming races,
I mean,
they're actually, I think the driver pairing is going to be good. It's just my opinion. I think the car obviously needs to be improved. I think McLaren are in a naturally stronger position due to the two drivers. I think, look, Piastri got Sargeant in the end in the race.
Well, he did. I mean,
Lando was on old mediums.
Yeah,
I mean, Piastri had been on the hard since like lap two.
I understand what you're saying about the front wing. Obviously, it ruined their race. Part of me agrees with you; the other half disagrees. In the sense of, they had the safety car. The bunch packed up. They had the chance to actually start overtaking, and they just struggled. I mean, Lando was P17. Oscar Piastri was P15. They're 85, 86 seconds behind the leader. I mean,
I'm just saying, right? It might sound deluded. But look at Piastri in qualifying.
Oh yeah, he got into Q3, did a good job. I agree with you. Over a lap,
Lando had a snap of oversteer.
Yeah,
and it took he just clipped a wall. That car, right? That Piastri got to P9 is not a car, in my opinion. Looking at like the analysis, like the data behind the car, it's not a car that should be making it into Q3.
No.
And I believe Lando would have been in with a chance of getting into Q3. And I don't think that car should be getting into Q3.
No.
I think they were driving it well, and I think in the race it was a fairly... They did what they could in the race.
I mean, obviously you would have expected Max Verstappen to be in Q3 as well, so...
Yeah.
He obviously wasn't, because he went out in Q2 just because of his engine issue. It was a great effort by Piastri. So you can't take anything away from him there. Obviously, you got the Alpines, who Pierre Gasly was in P10 in qualifying. But let's just quickly just finish off on McLaren. So they had a pretty rubbish race. And towards the end, you saw them battling. Lando and Piastri battling. I tell you what, it is getting frosty. Race two, it's already getting frosty between Lando and Piastri. Yes, because ironically, Lando was told, wasn't he, to let Piastri go.
And he did.
He did. However, obviously Lando has come out and he's gone, you know, yeah, I let him go. He said, I could, McLaren rival salty response as team orders Piastri to pass him in big statement. Lando basically insisted he could have quite easily kept Piastri behind him.
Oh, yeah, but have you seen the actual... Because I watched this thing. Because it was basically Lando was saying he thinks he could have got Sargent in the end, but the team said, let Oscar go and have a go.
So I don't think he could have.
I personally don't think he could have either.
I think he was struggling. That straight line speed of that Williams is ridiculous.
Yeah, but then Piastri did go and do it.
But he did. He was on fresher tyres. Sargent, I believe, was on the medium.
Was Piastri not on mediums as well?
Oh,
no. Piastri was on hards. Piastri was on the old... Yeah, but his hards were from lap two. Yeah. They were from when he had that one pit stop where he changed the front wing. It was Lando that was on mediums, wasn't it?
I just think, right?
I genuinely believe at this point, Lando in particular, because for Piastri, he's new to the sport. I think he's not going to be... He'd like to have a faster car, but right now he's just going to be focusing on, let's just get the best result possible that I can in this car at this point in time. Whereas Lando is going to be thinking like, he's not going to give a shit about... Similar to like Lewis and George last season, Lewis didn't give a shit about George finishing ahead of him or anything. Yeah. He was just pissed off that the car was shit. And I think Lando is going to be the same because he's like, fucking hell, like I'm too good to have a shit car. And I agree. I don't think he's going to be at all concerned about Piastri at this point in time.
Okay. Come to the end of the season, Piastri beats Lando in the championship. What did that show?
I'm not sure what it shows. I think it shows that everything that everyone thought about Piastri is true.
Yep.
I don't, unless he absolutely smokes Lando, I don't think it takes a lot away from Lando.
No.
It might hurt his ego a bit.
I think it hurts his ego, and I think it hurts his... reputation, and the reason why I say that is, as we've touched on before with Lando Norris, he hasn't won anything.
No.
The only race that he potentially could have won was won by Danny Ric, who's not even in the sport at the moment. He has had some good podiums, fair play. He has done nothing in the sport to go, okay, do you know what? I deserve a big seat. I deserve a big team. Because there's no difference. If Piastri goes out this year...
I do disagree there.
When I say he hasn't done anything in the sport, what I mean by that, he hasn't won anything.
No, but I do think he's done enough to show that he's good enough for a good team. I think he's proven himself. Even last season...
Yeah.
I know Danny Ric was particularly bad. I also think Lando was particularly good.
Yeah, it probably comes across as what I've said is like basically saying he's rubbish. I'm not saying that at all.
Matt hates Lando.
No, I don't in the slightest.
That's what he's saying.
What I'm saying is, I think, you know, if you're looking at Lando Norris and he has a poor season this year, he's been in sport now for however many years, hasn't won anything, hasn't, you know, he's won, as I said, done a few podiums, and already in the first season, a rookie has come in and he's beaten him. From someone, you know...
We're hypothetical,
obviously, if we come to the end of the season. So what would be the difference if, for example, a big team is looking and going, do you know what? If I have to pick out Lando and Piastri, you've got someone who's come in literally first rate. He's done this in his first season. He looks much better. Why wouldn't we go for someone like him? You know, has Lando now missing his opportunities now because these rookies and these younger drivers coming through? Pierre Gasly...
Yeah, but Lando's what, 25?
Yeah.
So he's still a young driver.
He's still a young driver.
You know, Piastri's part of the same generation, really.
I feel like I've not said what I wanted to well.
I feel like it's just being beaten one season, we can't discredit what Lando has done for the past three seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see my point?
I see your point.
Like, Piastri could have a really good season. And that would be great. And I think it definitely hurts... Lando's ego, naturally. Because it is different to the Lewis situation. You know, Lewis had won 7 world championships. He was never going to be rattled that, because he's got absolutely nothing to prove.
I think this would rattle Lando.
Yeah, I think it would, because he is still searching to prove himself. But yeah. I think he's done everything in his time in F1 to show that he does deserve a seat at one of the top teams. That is my opinion. And if I did have to put money on it, my money would be on Lando finishing ahead of Piastri this season.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is, my observations from particularly this weekend is I think they're a really strong driver pairing.
Oh, the pairing
itself. And I know that's easy to say even just looking on paper, but
no, I agree.
But I think based on observations, I do think they're going to push that McLaren further than it should be, because that McLaren has taken steps back 2 years in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that apparently they're bringing upgrades for Baku or Imola, Zak Brown has said. But yeah, they need to be some pretty hefty updates to get that car to a place where, you know, realistically, McLaren is a team that should be fighting for wins and podiums. We know they're not. But at this point in time, they should at least be fighting for points.
Yeah.
Every single race.
They should be battling at the back like they were.
Yeah.
You know, battling for a P15 is not something you go, oh yeah, successful weekend. They should be battling for points. But my question is, at this moment in time, are they, we say they should be battling, but actually, when you look at the other teams, that Haas will come good. They're starting to show some glimmers. Alpine are in there. Aston Martin are in there, Mercedes, Ferrari.
Yeah, but
where does McLaren fit into that?
2 seasons ago, McLaren finished 3rd in the constructors. 2021. They finished ahead of Ferrari, didn't they?
No.
They not?
No.
Okay.
Finished fourth.
But
I'm just going to check that,
because they shouldn't be taking these steps back. As such a big organisation with clearly the ability to lure top drivers.
Yeah, no, Ferrari quite comfortably was ahead of
McLaren. Well, yeah, they've done really well as well, but that's another story. I just think, yeah, they, you know, if McLaren, Aston Martin have made the jump from, like P8 in the championship or P7, whatever, to being the second fastest car on the grid, undeniably. Why are teams like McLaren taking steps back?
Good question. I just don't think they're... I don't know. I just think other teams have just got it, you know, designed their car and hit the spec.
Well, yeah, no. Better.
And I know it sounds silly, but you know what I mean.
Because of course that's the reason.
Yeah, no, no shit, that's not what I meant.
I just think the other cars are better. Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's the problem.
Such a dickhead. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I just don't think McLaren have the right setup. Yes, they might have the best pairing, but I just don't think they have the right...
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is, they need to look at that team, like internally, and be like, right, how do we get back to where we should be? Because we've got the drivers. There's going to come a time, if they continue like this, where McLaren, the name, is not going to be able to lure people.
If you're Piastri, right, and you're seeing Alpine do a bit better, don't get me wrong, they're not smashing out of the park.
Yeah, their car was pretty decent this weekend.
It was. Would you be looking and going, shit?
I don't think at this stage, and that's part of my point, I guess, McLaren does still have the pull power. Because it's McLaren. But that is only going to last a certain amount of time. Because if Alpine continue for, like, you know, however long, sort of progressing, because they get better, and McLaren continue this fall off, well, you know, it's like Williams. They don't have the ability to pull big names anymore.
No.
Once upon a time, they would have been pulling big names. And eventually, if you do fall off, you know, your name is irrelevant.
Which is quite weird, isn't it, really? Because the McLaren name, it hasn't done anything for years. So you would think, oh, don't get me wrong, it's done like the constructors P4 and they've had the odd win and that, and you think, yes, okay, fine. But they're no better than, you know, Alpine have had a win in the last couple of years, two, three years.
AlphaTauri
have had a win. You know, McLaren, yes, they had their win, but what makes McLaren... It must just be the name, because there's nothing else that must go, do you know what, I'd love to go there.
And that's the thing, that will go eventually.
Yeah.
So they do need to be careful. They need to sort it out.
Let's get on to the race, shall we? So good start, reasonably clean start. Piastri was probably the main casualty out of that.
It was disappointingly clean.
There was no red flags this weekend. Yeah. There was only one safety car, which I still don't quite understand why.
We'll get on to the safety car, but
relatively FIA. Clean. Good overtake from Alonso into turn one.
Lovely. And that the traction of the Aston Martin, because I don't know if you saw, they showed the reaction time. Mm. Perez had a quicker reaction time, which means he got off the line quicker, but Alonso was like still got the move done.
Yeah. Great overtake.
Yeah, and that car is really impressive. Mm. You know, it's not going to take a lot to make that car really competitive.
No. They've done a good job so far, but reasonably clean, like you say. We then got into, like, what was it? You know, lap 20, something like that? Stroll?
Yeah, it was between 15 and 20. Oh, I think it was lap 15, was it?
It was lap 15. Stroll retired. Actually, he got into... He was off the track. He was actually very good, but for some reason they decided to put out a safety car.
He was... Do you know what? I actually know the reason why they pulled out a safety car.
Why is that?
So they didn't have enough cameras, so they didn't know where he was when he pulled up.
Oh, is that what it was?
How ridiculous is that? How can you not have a camera at every single part of the track? You're literally the FIA. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was literally parked off the track. As in, he was in one of the little, like, slip-roady things, you know, where they've got the...
He may as well been in the garage. He was that clean off the track.
Yeah, there was a 0% chance that any car could hit him unless they intentionally tried to do so.
Do U-turn.
Yeah, like they would have had to physically turn and go into him. It was it was real bizarre.
It was a very poor decision. But to be fair, it made the race go from a bit boring to actually, oh, something might happen here. Obviously, from that, by that point, Max was up in P4. Majority of cars pitted. Lewis Hamilton started on the hards, which he was the only one to do so, which... didn't really make much sense to me.
So I thought exactly the same. And then people started coming in like around lap 13, didn't they? The overcut was working.
Yeah.
Sainz got Stroll on the overcut.
He did, yeah.
Leclerc had obviously stayed out on the softs. And, you know, I know they had pitted, but Lewis then came out ahead of Sainz, Leclerc, didn't he? He came out in between Sainz and Leclerc.
Yeah, which is quite interesting because I don't know if you've heard the radio of Charles Leclerc after his frustration. Because when the safety car is out, you're allowed to push to a certain line.
Mm.
He wasn't told by his race strategist to do that. So then all of a sudden... he comes round to turn one. Lewis is already out. They went, oh, you can push now. He's like, why didn't you tell me this?
Yeah.
Again, this goes back down to, again, there's real trouble at that Ferrari garage because not only did they have Leclerc had a reasonably good, well, he had a very good qualifying. He ended up starting P2 on the grid.
He obviously then had the penalty.
No, sorry, P3. And then the P2, then he had a penalty, yeah. There's real trouble there. And it showed this weekend with the communication. What are you going to do with that?
And I mean, I think that was their biggest problem last season. I think now they have bigger problems in the fact that their car is actually just slow.
Yeah, it was.
That car is slower than the Mercedes.
Yeah.
Race pace. It seems to be pretty quick over one lap. But race pace. I mean, you know, Lewis was on dying mediums and Sainz was still not closing in.
No.
And he was on the hards and, you know, it's, I don't understand it. I really don't know what has happened there. That, you know, we talk about Aston Martin's huge come up. Ferrari have had a huge fall off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it's early in the season. I'm sure we'll see updates come and the car change. But I don't understand how they started on the back foot.
The bizarre thing is, though, is we were discussing after Bahrain that Mercedes were probably the fourth best team on the grid, which has now transpired that actually, yes, okay, Mercedes are P2 in the constructors, but Aston Martin and Red Bull are a league of their own at the moment. And actually, you've got Mercedes who are better than Ferrari, which is something which,
because
at the beginning of the season, we would have never predicted.
Yeah, and I think this has given us a new insight into it, because we know that the Mercedes, for whatever reason, really suffers with degradation.
Yeah.
So Bahrain is obviously a high-deg track where I think that's the only thing that went in the Ferrari's favour.
Yeah.
The fact that their deg is perhaps a little better. But you could see at first, I mean, Lewis was closing on Sainz in Bahrain. And then, yeah, obviously around Saudi, low-deg track, no issues whatsoever. Got past him. It was a nice move. And then just, you know, pulled away.
Yeah. Real troubles there at Ferrari. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. if you're Charles Leclerc, you've got a few concerns.
And
you?
This is what I said, guys. He will have so many sleepless nights over this, because last season was the opportunity. That was his world championship. And granted, I may have got it a little wrong. I said there's absolutely no chance Mercedes stay behind Ferrari. And I was right. Mercedes are no longer behind Ferrari. But now Aston Martin is ahead of both of them. So, yeah, that was his chance last season. He wasn't flawless last season, but he was mad let down by the team.
Oh, yeah, massively. So safety car happened. The biggest winners from that were Max Verstappen. He came out in P4. Which I think he was coming up to anyway.
I don't think Max would have had any troubles either way. No, safety car or not, he would have finished P2.
Yeah. Lewis Hamilton was actually a winner. It actually worked in his favour. I was thinking that he started on hards and we were going, what is his strategy? Actually worked out. My only concern was that actually when he pitted, he took off the hards, put on the mediums, and I was thinking to myself, is these mediums going to last 30 laps?
I was thinking no chance.
Yeah. But granted, he managed to get it to the end and actually quite comfortably. Like you said, the Ferraris couldn't even catch him. They were around hards.
Yeah.
So that was quite interesting. Which,
just to confirm, like as a comparison, we saw Logan Sargeant had a lot of pace on those mediums. Mm. I think he definitely burnt through his tyres a bit more than Lewis, because he was racing pretty heavily P13 region. But then by the end of it, Piastri, who was on by the end of the race, they were 48 laps old or whatever, his hard tyres, he was able to get past Sargeant. Yeah. I think it goes to show the issues that Ferrari have.
Yeah. Reasonably good weekend for Alpine. They picked up 6 points between both drivers. Ocon in P8, Gasly in P9. Again, solid points for the team, especially as they didn't look great in Bahrain. They know they've got a lot of work to do. So the fact that they are still chipping away, picking up points, they'd probably be quite happy with that. That's exactly what McLaren wished they were doing.
Yeah. The Alpine looked pretty good all weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Much
improved from Bahrain.
Yeah, much improved. But, you know, Gasly had a pretty decent race in Bahrain.
Ocon had one
for the history books. But, yeah, I don't think Alpine are... I actually don't think Alpine have... I don't think they've necessarily made, a huge step forward. I don't think they've made a step back. I think it looks worse for them than it actually is, because Aston Martin are now in the picture.
You've now got them.
I think, you know, and that's unfortunate, because it maybe discredits Alpine a little bit unnecessarily, because realistically it's just Aston Martin have taken a huge leap.
Yeah, no, I agree. Alfa Romeo Joel, he finished P13, but he had a reasonably clean race. It wasn't too bad for him. Bottas had a shocker. He was down in P18. The mad thing is, right, and I put this in the group chat, Bottas went in for fresh softs towards the end. He was still 2 seconds slower than the Red Bull in Perez, who was on hards.
Yeah, it was...
How does that even make sense?
Because I wanted this to become a thing of like Alfa Romeo, just...
take the fastest lap.
Yeah, yeah. You know, every race. I actually had a conversation with my brother. He was saying, I'm not sure if we've ever spoken about this. We might have actually spoken about it last week. He was saying, I wish they'd just give the points to whoever gets the fastest lap.
Yeah.
Did we speak about that last week?
We didn't speak about that, no.
Okay, but... So I was like, yeah, but then all you're going to do is from like P11 backwards, you're just going to have people pitting. And then he was like, yeah. And I was like...
That actually would make it a bit more exciting.
It could actually get quite exciting because you've then got like the race happening essentially. And then you've got like 11 people doing... 11 people, you've got P11 onwards doing like quali runs. I think...
If they've got nothing to race for, I think, yeah, why not?
I think, like, in practice, it's pretty ridiculous. But I think, like, it's quite funny to think of.
I think, right, if you're a lapped car, if your car has been lapped, then you should be allowed to go for it. And you get the points.
So do you see how this encourages you to be slower? Like, because if you're sitting in P20, you're like, I'll just coast for a little bit. Oh, there goes Max. I'm going to come in and get the fastest lap. 1 point for being shit.
Yeah.
Haas
in 2020 or 2021 would have taken that.
They would have finished like P7 in the championship. So I do think it's...
You get 20 odd points just from fastest lap.
I do think it's a little bit ridiculous, but I did think it was a funny concept.
It could work.
Those cars.
Let's talk about Mercedes. Obviously, well, I know we've touched on Lewis Hamilton. George Russell was pretty flawless this weekend, to be fair.
Yeah, quicker than Lewis. Lewis had a terrible qualifying.
They have both said that their setups weren't the same setups. Lewis said afterwards, he said, I went wrong setup. I should have gone for the setup George had. But George, yeah, flawless.
Yeah, and that comes down to driver as well. You know, you've got to give credit to George there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, he was brilliant. He nurtured that car home. He was good on tyres. When he was told that Lewis was closing in, he pushed. He tried to close that gap. On a whole, you couldn't fault him.
I've got to say, right, I'm a Lewis fan first and foremost. That some of the Hamilton fans on Twitter are backwards. I'm telling you, they're weird. Obviously, it came over the radio. Lewis was closing in on George.
Yeah.
They, for whatever reason, like the cult fans seem to think that George was given team orders to let Lewis through. And George obviously came over and said, come on, guys, like Fernando's got a 5-second penalty here. Let's go after him. And then we can worry about fighting later. Mm. Kind of fair, I thought.
And then George finds out that...
Obviously, George then finds out that he's actually served his penalty. And he was like, fuck.
It was like, just shout him, wasn't it? Right, like pop it down there.
Well, and he was like, you need to tell me this sort of stuff. Again, rightly so. Fair enough. But he did not ignore team orders, and let's not ignore the fact that from that point on, he gapped Lewis.
He wasn't told to let Lewis pass.
He then pulled like a 2-second gap between the two of them. At the end of the day, Lewis was on mediums. I saw some fans on there saying, like, you know, it's outrageous. He only cares about himself. Like, Lewis could have gone through and caught Alonso. No, he couldn't.
No, those tyres went off. I think Lewis did well.
Aston Martin is so fast. There was absolutely no chance. George wasn't able to catch him. And they were both on hards. Lewis wasn't that much quicker on the softs. He was matching George at best.
Mediums.
On the mediums, yeah, sorry.
I think Lewis did well to match the gap from Sainz. You know, on those mediums, considering they looked like they were going off. But no, I don't think he would have got George. I think George, on a whole, was very in control of his tyres.
What I hate, right? I hate it when fans are unable to like lay any criticism on their favorite like driver or team or whatever.
Well, this is interesting because you said in the group chat yesterday, so we discussed in our group chat, I said, or it wasn't me, who was it, Andy or someone, who said, well, that's a boring race, they're just going to watch paint dry or something. And then you said...
Well, you agreed as well. You
I did.
You said that was boring, and then I think Corey agreed as well.
But I did.
And Glenn.
I did say afterwards, and I said this at the beginning of this podcast, if you're a fan who's enjoying the midfield, like fighting for P15, P16, don't get me wrong, I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, the battle between, who was it, Magnussen, Tsunoda. I thought that was really good. I enjoyed the battle between Piastri, Norris, Sargent. I enjoyed the battle between Sargent and
Hulkenberg.
But I don't, you know, when I watch racing, I watch it for that. But I spent more time yesterday watching that battle than watching a battle at the beginning, at the front of the, you know, watching P1, P2, P3, actual proper championship battle. I didn't watch any of that yesterday.
Yeah.
So I understand where you say, oh, because I'm, you know, we're Lewis fans, we can't see past that. I thoroughly can. I just found it boring because I'm watching a fight for P15, which is...
Well, yeah, because I said to them, like, you boys only enjoy it when Lewis is at the front or whatever, or when, like, Lewis is challenging.
Damn straight.
Whereas I actually, for whatever reason, like, I really like that Piastri battle with Piastri, Norris and Sargent, and I agree, like, look, it would be better if we're having battles throughout the field. Mm. And my point was, that was not, like a world beater that race. I'm not saying it was like the greatest race ever. I thought it was better than Bahrain. Oh, and at sure. No, I personally didn't think it was a boring race. I just thought it was an okay race.
No. And that's why I agree
and
with
that
you.
Was like, people were like in the chat, like they were like, oh, this is shit. And I was thinking like, yeah, but I think you're only saying that because Lewis isn't up top or he's not like battling for a podium or something. And it's so easy to just look at racing like that.
But that's why I said to you in the chat, I get your point, and I enjoyed those battles, but there's a top 10 there, which we saw nothing of.
Yeah, no. And
for me, as a fan, when you're watching a championship battle, like last year when you started to begin the season watching Leclerc, Max, you were actually getting a battle.
That is much better. Like,
I didn't want
to be like misunderstood there. Like, my point wasn't, oh my God, this is... You know, this is better than Abu Dhabi 21, I'm just saying...
Luke did say he'd prefer what he saw between Sargent and Hulkenberg than actually the whole season of 21.
It was just... I don't want to take the races for granted, and I thought that was not a bad race.
I mean, from a championship battle point of view, it was pretty woeful. From a... Yeah, close racing point of view with regards to different teams, yeah, it was okay.
But my point was, like, my leading point was that, like, and I do see this particularly in Hamilton fans, but they cannot criticise him.
No.
He on Saturday, it was right. You're a fan. Like, you're not criticising him personally. It's not a personal attack. Mm. You are able to sit there and be like, that wasn't good enough from him. Because, okay, his setup, he's part of the setup. Do you know what I mean? He is telling them what the car needs, that it comes from the driver and other people, as of course. George got that car to P3.
Yeah.
In, well, it, or was it P...
It was P4, but with the Leclerc demotion, he got P3, yeah.
And Lewis was what, P7?
Yep.
Oh, no, it was P8, and he started P7.
So George started P3, Lewis started P7, yeah.
Yeah, which means he qualified P8.
Yeah.
It's just not good enough. And then, like, you get to the race, and, like, this happens, and, like, people are just picking any sort of thing they can that George does. Well, I'm sorry, George was quicker most of the weekend. Mm. He absolutely annihilated Lewis in qualifying.
Well, George has continued from what he was doing last year.
Yeah, and this is... Look, I want, as much as anyone, any other Lewis Hamilton fan, I want Lewis to absolutely... I want him to annihilate everyone on the field. You know, and in particular, who I'm also a big fan of George, but I want Lewis to finish ahead of George every single race.
Yeah.
But what you can't do is start like picking at George for these mindless things simply because you're a Lewis Hamilton fan. You know, it like I just saw it on Twitter, and I don't know if you guys, if you're part of like Hamilton Twitter and you follow different people, hopefully you saw it and you just thought, what a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah, I say weirdos, but
Because it's like, it's a cult. It's yeah. where like, he can do no wrong. Everyone else around him is like, it's a weird mindset.
Yeah, but you can say that about Max Verstappen fans.
No, you can say it about any fans. Yeah. I'm just saying this is like, I don't see that because I'm not, you know, I'm not really in the Max Verstappen community or whatever. Like,
aren't you?
No, weirdly.
You didn't sign up.
So I only see this happening in, you know, and, you know, it's probably the same in Max fans when, with things, you know, like Lewis and Max. Max can never do any wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's a weird mentality to assume that your driver, your favourite driver, can never do any wrong. No. And nothing can be their fault. Or, you know, the car is bad. But Lewis himself said, I was also part of the problem on Saturday.
Yeah, it was poor. Let's quickly talk about, obviously, Red Bull. Good win. Perez looked in control. Although if you read reports that Max, you know, I could have caught Perez. Obviously, Max was not very happy finishing P2.
When did he say that?
He said, not happy finishing second as he and Red Bull team Sergio were given permission to race each other at the Saudi Grand Prix. So they were obviously given permission to race.
Well, so how could he have caught him then?
Well, he had issues, wasn't he? He was saying he had issues with his... I can't remember what he said he had issues with.
Drive shaft.
So he was annoyed that he couldn't race him because he was having issues with that.
Right. But he did go and set the fastest lap on...
He did.
The last lap, so why didn't he just put a few more of those in?
Look, don't ask me these. This is what you're saying.
So Max gets to P2, right? Can't remember how many laps were left. But he was 5.9 seconds behind Checo.
Yeah, got it down to 4.4.
I said to my brother, I give it 10 laps, Max will be P1.
Mm.
It didn't happen. No. I simply just think...
Perez held the gap very well.
Yeah,
He looked in full control. He looked in full control all weekend.
And I don't think Max could have overtaken him. Yeah. I just don't think he could have closed the gap. And trust me, that's not something I'm going to say often.
No.
Because, like I said, watching it in real time, I was like, give it 10 laps, Max will be ahead. I put a bet on the F1 this weekend.
Did you win?
No. but check this, right? So I never really looked into like betting on F1. Quite cool. So how it works is you do like a head-to-head. So like your drivers. So you have like Max Verstappen to beat Sergio Perez and then Charles Leclerc to beat Carlos Sainz. So like within teams, you do head-to-head.
Yeah. Thanks for explaining head-to-head.
No, but like as in it's not like Lewis Hamilton to beat Max Verstappen. No. It's within the same team. It wasn't great. Realistically, if I did the opposite, I would have won. So I had I had Gasly to beat Ocon.
Okay, yeah. I probably would have done the same with actually, to be fair.
I went Max to beat Sergio.
See, this is where it's interesting. I would have stuck with Sergio because Sergio on, like, I know this isn't a proper street track, but you can't, he's just too good. Look at him in, like, Singapore last year. He's Monaco. Been in Baku, Monaco. He's just too good on street circuits.
I just thought, yeah, he only won Baku because Lewis locked up. Well, he had his magic button on, didn't he?
Still won it, though.
He did. I then went Bottas to beat Zhou.
Probably done the same.
But this is where I sort of fucked it up. But it then kind of worked in my favour. So I forgot that it was Q3 Lando went out in.
Yeah.
I thought it was Q1, sorry. I thought it was Q2. But it wasn't. It was Q1 and he qualified P19. So I went Lando to finish ahead of Piastri.
Could have happened.
Hey, and then Piastri gets the wing damage.
Mm.
I like turn to my brother. I'm like, it's coming in.
I'm in the money.
So, yeah, he obviously comes in. Then a lap later, Lando's in. I'm like, what the fuck? So now he's dead last. And then, so then Stroll retires and I've got Alonso to finish ahead of him. I was like, it's coming together. Like, Max is flying through the pack. Gasly and Ocon were like next to each other. Bottas was letting me down a lot, to be fair. I did also have Lewis to beat George. And when I saw him starting on Haas, I was like, fuck, curtains. Then I saw the power of the overcut, and I was like, this might happen.
Yeah.
Then the safety car happened, and I'm like, Lewis on mediums, George on Haas. No, the bet was shit. only one of those selections won, and that was Alonso. Probably the only reason that happened is because Stroll retired. Yeah. So I'm sure if Stroll stayed in the race, it would have somehow made me lose that. So if you do want tips, I'll give them to you. Just make sure you do the exact opposite of what I say. But if anyone else bets on F1, I don't know, maybe we can talk about it a little bit more. Because, you know, it was only a small bet. It was £5. That's the most I would gamble. But it was actually quite exciting. And it made me look a lot throughout the pack.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I found the race more exciting.
Because you're constantly wondering whether your bets are coming in.
Yeah, because it's like one of those things, like if you watch a football game and all of a sudden like corners become exciting. It's like no one's ever cheered a corner unless you've got money riding on it. So like, I don't know, a small little bet. You could even do £1 a week. I mean, if that £5 had won, I would have won like 250 quid. Hmm. Did a pound, I don't know, divide that by five. I'm not a mathematician, but 50 quid, there you go. Something like that.
Well done.
I don't know. Maybe that's why the race was more interesting for me. But if anyone else has ever got involved in a little bit of Formula One betting, hit us up in the DMs and we can talk tips.
Just finishing on Red Bull. If you're Red Bull, solid weekend. Obviously, I found it interesting when Max was like, what's the fastest lap? And they're like, you don't need to worry about that.
I found this so funny.
He was like, well, I do. So basically, I don't give a shit. Just tell me what it is.
We're not concerned about that at the moment. He's like, yeah, I am.
Yeah. And this shows you the mentality of this man, okay? This was a difference who was going to be going ahead, leaving Jeddah at the top of the standings. Because if Perez got the fastest lap, he would be leading by 1 point. Max gets it, he would be leading by 1 point. So Perez, I think, thought he just had it. Then Max Verstappen, and this is how mad it is on these hards. Okay, I still putting old in hards. These old hards, putting these lap times in. He goes on his final lap, where realistically he could have binned it. We've seen him in Abu Dhabi, Jeddah 21. He binned it into the wall. He could have done the exact same, but he was desperate. He was desperate for this point because he did not want to lose that to Perez, which is mad. And
he put in a scorcher lap as well. He was like, because
131.9.
He didn't even set a personal best in the second sector.
He's just
his
he's
first just sector was like a monster.
He's just built different. It's mad. It is mad. But yeah, fair play. He got the fastest lap, and he still wasn't happy with P2. I mean, if you talk to anyone else on the grid, you'd be delighted with P2, wouldn't you? Especially after starting P15.
Yeah.
But good day for them. Let's just quickly finish off on Alonso. Bit of a hectic day, and this is why we go back to questioning the FIA's decision, and I swear to this day I still don't quite understand their logic. So safety car, Alonso comes in, he's already got a 5 second penalty because he didn't line up in his
he was too far to the left, wasn't he?
Yeah, so where his grid box was, he was slightly too far to the left. Got a 5 second penalty. Okay, safety car happens, works a treat, he comes in.
Can I just say quickly on the grid box thing?
Yeah.
Being a little bit to the left, he doesn't gain any advantage.
No.
It wasn't like ridiculously out of
two bases in a row now.
Yeah.
We had Ocon.
I think if you're further forward, I understand.
Yeah.
Those inches are vital.
Mm.
And 4 inches is big, remember. but a little bit to the left, come on.
Yeah. No, I agree. So he got a 5 second penalty, served that during the safety car. And it looks like on the rear jack, it is touching the car whilst they're waiting for the 5 seconds. So if you don't know, you cannot do any work on that car for 5 seconds. That means you can't touch it. You can't do anything to it. Once that 5 seconds is finished, you can then actually start working on the car and doing your pit stop. The rear jack, from the angle it looks like, was touching the car, which in the regulations shows that you have an advantage. So
to be clear, it wasn't lifting the car or anything. No, it was just touching it.
So that happened. You heard nothing during the race. Okay. Maybe in the last few laps you heard, oh, actually, you know, George keeping the 5 second window, cause you know, Alonso might have a 10 second penalty. Hamilton stay in a 10 second window.
They didn't tell Lewis.
He didn't know. He didn't. But they must have come over.
No, they thought it was going to be a 5 second penalty. They said Alonso might have a 5 second penalty at the end of the race.
Even though
last week the same happened and Ocon got a 10 second penalty.
So you must have thought to yourself, and this is what really confused me.
Mercedes would have been there like, it's not going to be a 5, is it? It's going to be a 10. It literally happened last week.
But it really confused me because at the end of the race, they were both out of the 5 second mark. So Lewis was out of the 10 second mark.
Yeah, I also.
George was out of the five seconds.
George was like 5.1 and Lewis was like 10.2 or something.
I was just like, are they just not talking? I was like, it just didn't make sense. So if Lewis, anyway, that baffled me. Alonso goes up, celebrates P3, lovely, great job, 100th podium in F1, great achievement. And then literally, no word of a lie, 10 minutes after that podium, it's like, oh, actually, Alonso has been, got a 10 second penalty and he goes down to fourth and George Russell gets promoted to P3.
Which, to be fair to the FIA, I mean, we've got to cut them some slack here. They only had 35 laps.
It must have been tough for them.
To work out whether it should have been a penalty or not.
And
then even after when the race finished, they were really quick.
Yeah, and they waited another 3 hours. And they were actually, we've changed our mind and Alonso will get P3 again. George gets demoted to P4.
All of a sudden now, when they apply the rules incorrectly, they're allowed to change race results.
Funny that, isn't it? If you don't know what we're talking about, yes, down below. I just find it embarrassing. And we also discussed this in our group chat. I felt sorry for Alonso because, not obviously, if they've done something wrong, they've done something wrong. But that's pretty poor, the fact that you have to wait until the end of the race before they can make that decision. Surely they've got to be quicker with these decision makings because that's embarrassing. You're presenting a P3 to a driver who's like, oh, not only is it a P3 for, you know, Aston Martin, it's also his 100th podium. You know, all of F1 is posting, oh, 100th podium for Alonso. And then literally it's like, nah, actually, 99th.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. It was more embarrassing than the safety car, and that was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
But there's always some issue. I mean, embarrass themselves all weekend.
Bring back Massey.
Not allowed to ride a bike around the track for whatever reason.
Can't wear jewellery.
Yeah, the jewellery thing. And you know Lewis has that medical exemption for his nose as well. Just one of his nose. Now he's got two nose piercings.
I
think it's just for the original nose piercing. Yeah. He gets written up every race week, like that he has to go and see the stewards about it. Even though they know he's got a medical exemption and like it's the same process every race week. Mm. I say every, so obviously only been 2 race weeks, but the 2 race weeks he's been written up for it. For them to go through the procedure to be like, oh yeah, no, he's medically exempt. Yeah, you know that.
But a guy who broke his wrists 10 days before is absolutely fine to race. I honestly don't understand their logic. I don't understand it.
Yeah, they're backwards authority. That's
but on a whole, it was an all right. I'd say a 4 out of 10 race weekend. I'm hoping for better in Melbourne, but obviously.
I'd go 5.5.
Okay, 5.5. If you don't know, it is Australia next. We'll be previewing that next week. We got anything? And on the Australian Grand Prix, we are going to be doing an Instagram live. 6 a.m. Luke and I. Luke's making breakfast.
Matt's bringing breakfast here.
How's that work? I've literally just said you're making breakfast.
Otherwise, I'm not opening the door.
I'm going to climb through the window.
We do have a few questions.
Do we?
Yeah. Do you want me to ask them? So yeah, every week on our Instagram, which you will need to follow if you do want to join in on the live stream, so at Racecast Insta. Go and follow us now. We are regularly posting updates within the F1 world. So yeah, it's pretty good even just for that, really. Like, you know, you get to hear about stuff you might not have heard of otherwise. But yeah, also every week we post when we're filming, saying send us in your questions or your thoughts on the previous Grand Prix or whatever, and we go through them. So I'm going to start now. Do you think this marks the point of Lewis's decline and Russell perhaps being the number one?
It actually pains me, okay? Being a Hamilton fan, I don't know whether he's just lost his edge or he's just... It's a car. I don't know. I've been really impressed with George since he's come in the Mercedes, and I think he's now... I think it's like handing over of the baton, and that actually pains me to say, because I've been really impressed with George. I think he comes in, he's, you know, calm under pressure. He knows what he wants. He can get the most out of that car. He's good at tyre management with that car. He's quick. He can put in a good lap over one lap. And it does pain me. Lewis, every time I see him now, just looks deflated. He just looks like it is a chore. It looks like he's just fed up.
Yeah, I think we'll have to determine that when Mercedes, or if Mercedes, get a more competitive car.
Yeah.
I think it'll be easier to gauge, but it is, you know, it's undeniable that George is looking stronger at the moment. But, you know, you can't write anyone off. Look at Fernando Alonso.
I'm not writing Lewis off. I just think at this moment in time, George, especially after last year, has come in and he's been assertive. He's been dominant. When I say dominant, I mean out of the two drivers. He just looks more at one with the car.
I agree. I think, I don't think at this point, like, George becomes number one.
Think? Do you say I don't think?
I don't think.
You didn't say think.
I did. I just think that, you know, Lewis is really struggling in the car. Mm. And George has come from a shit car. He's just come to a less shit car. So he's thriving. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Lewis has had to take a real step back with the car. So, yeah, I'm not making excuses. You know, George been brilliant. Do you think relations will get worse between Checo and Max?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think particularly if Checo does win some races.
Do you know what I think is going to be interesting? What I think is interesting is Perez gets stronger. He, as you say, wins some races. He then is challenging, you know, come the summer, still challenging for the title with Max. That's a tough decision for Horner, because Max and Yost will be like, you know, Christian, what's going on? Like, why are you allowing this? Tensions will come then. Neither of those are going to want to become, you know, help each other. It's not a team, is it? They're not like going to go, oh, we're doing it for the team. It's going to be like a Hamilton Rosberg-esque.
Yeah, but then it is hard when you're fighting for the title, because essentially, you know, Lewis and Max in 21 weren't friends.
No.
If they were on the same team, it would be exactly the same. There comes a point. Look, at the end of the day, these drivers,
they're in F1 to win titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The constructors' title is not at the forefront of their mind.
No. But for Perez, winning a title means everything.
Yeah, I'm sure it does for Max.
I agree. He's already won two, though. But for Perez, he hasn't got many more options. You know, realistically, this potentially could be Perez's last year in a competitive car. We don't know what's happening when we go into 2024.
So he's still got his contract, hasn't he?
He's still got his contract. But what does that mean?
Yeah.
If tensions continue to rise, Horner might take it upon himself to go, actually, I'll really bring in another driver to level things out, bring someone in who's not as competitive as Checo.
But then do they run the risk of not getting the constructors?
I mean, as you said earlier, anyone could be put in that car and win the constructors.
Although I will make it very clear, I do not believe Sergio Perez will be fighting for the championship this season.
But then remember, we were talking about Perez being a title contender up until what, Monaco last year, probably race 8, 9, then all of a sudden he just tailed off.
Yeah, Max Verstappen will win the championship.
Horner's probably turned down the engine a
he's
bit.
Already turned down his engine. Deflated his tyres. this is interesting. And I know the answer already. Who would put in a better lap time out of us two in a Formula One car? The problem is Matt has no upper body strength. So he would turn and he'd just fold like a piece of paper.
Hang on. Are we talking about on F1 game or are we talking about an proper F1 car?
No, in an F1 car.
Okay. 100% me. Mate, go-karting. I beat you in go-karting.
A, you beat me once. I beat you once as well.
When are we going again?
B, you're like made out of feathers. So you're so light, the cart has got no weight in it. Whereas all right, yeah. I probably weigh like 10 kg more than you.
Yeah, but that's better for me. Lighter.
Yeah, but in an F1 car, that's not going to like, won't make as big a difference as it does in a little go-kart.
We're talking about an F1 car, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm countering your point by saying...
Oh no, forget the go-kart.
You've got the weight advantage in a go-kart.
Yeah, forget
it's not going to make that much difference in an F1 car because it's so much more powerful.
Okay, in an F1 car, it's pretty simple. I would beat you.
And I revert back to the fact that he's got no upper body strength, that turning a corner, he would just fold.
Like... Yeah, but I do legs at the gym. You don't.
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Reese told me what you were lifting the other day.
I didn't do too bad.
Not even sure you'd be able to turn the wheel.
Bollocks. You didn't even know I was at the gym with Reese until I told you. No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Because he said you really struggled.
No, I didn't.
He did say you struggled.
You didn't even know I was at the gym with him. Let's not get into the domestic.
You trained back, didn't you? You did rows.
Did everything.
So I thought, I didn't know.
Yeah, but anyone could say that. That's one of the most common things to do. You know what Reese does.
So basically, there's no chance. And point three, if Matt drives anything like he does on F1, he'd be in the wall in the first corner of whatever track.
I'm pretty crap. It does depress me.
We're at. So
I've left the championship.
And he's a bottle job. So,
mate, it's depressing.
Do you see what I mean? So the answer to that question is undoubtedly me. We'll never get the opportunity because I don't think we'll ever get to drive an F1 car.
You and me, Silverstone track day, in one seater, little F3 car, four cars, whatever they are.
You think they're going to let us drive F3 cars?
F7s.
See, this, no. And when we go go-karting, I'll beat you there anyway.
You just won't. Honestly, you will not beat me. What do you want to bet? You will not beat me when we go.
We'll come back. We'll show the results.
Okay.
But like, I know I'll beat you because I've already beaten you.
And I've already beaten you.
Yeah.
So I know for, honestly, when I went to Poland, I was rapid.
Yeah. But when you're against the boys, weren't you? They're all a bit big.
No.
They are all a bit big.
No.
They are, and it weighs the cart down.
No. Don't take this away from me. I will beat you. Fact.
Fat.
Fact.
That was the problem.
Fact.
No, I just, look, we'll see, won't we? I mean, I know where my money would be. We can, and we'll do a little post before and you can vote.
Okay. Yeah, but everyone will go for you. Oh, Luke.
And they'll be duly rewarded.
Yeah. Bring back waffling. Oh, I love you, Luke. Fucking hell. No one will ever back me.
Crime a river. Oh. But yeah, anyway, thanks for the questions. There are more. I'm not going to go through them right now. But
all right, guys, we're going to end the podcast here. Comment down below, who do you think would win out of a go-kart race, me or Luke? And who would win out of a F1 race? Me. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. I hope you have a good week. We'll be back next week previewing Australia. And as I said earlier, we will be actually doing an Instagram live for the Australian Grand Prix, 6 a.m. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, same. Just I love early mornings.
Yeah. It was your decision, mate.
Only because I couldn't do Jeddah, and then I'm away for a month.
Yeah, true. So yeah, have a great week. We shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.